Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Mark and Sarah talk about songs. They talk about songs.
What up? It's episode number 244 of Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs. I am your co-host, Mark Blankenship, and I am joined as ever by the spectacular Sarah D. Bunting. Hello, Sarah.
Hello. Today, we are getting Jerseylicious with Bon Jovi's Runaway. Fun fact, did we mention that it's episode 244? Half the lifetime ago of this podcast, episode 127, I believe, we did talk about a Bon Jovi song, Wanted Dead or Alive. I completely forgot that that occurred and had to be reminded the other day, but since this is the state flower of New Jersey, Bon Jovi, Bruce Springsteen, of course, being the state bird.
Sure, yes.
And Frank Sinatra being something. The state song.
The state motto.
Sure. Fuck you, Frank. You know, I've got to, I have no choice but to stand for Bon Jovi. I mean, actually, I probably do have a choice, but we went a little earlier from their first real album. Runaway was from 1984. I think it charted, but not real high. I think there was a video. It was not very good, if I recall correctly. At this time in my life, I was in middle school. I was an indoorsy child, a very young seventh grader when this song came out, and generally felt I disliked hard rock, hair metal. Something about it felt too like dangerous and penile. Mm. I guess, and loud, but this song and the combination of the Casio and this sternum shattering bridge and frankly, John Bon Jovi being hot, it shifted my opinion somewhat about this style of music. Here's the thing though. The song is a banger, but I feel like there's some really dark Law & Order SVU shit happening here. Let us hear a clip. And then, Mark, I would be interested to hear your take on the song, what you remember from when it first came out, if anything, and whether someone is being sex trafficked in the second verse. Here's a clip.
There's only pictures hung in the shadows.
Girl, and fast.
I mean, to take me there, Richie Sambora. But I mean, maybe don't take me there. Maybe don't take me across state lines. Because I just feel like lyrically, it is not, it's like not entirely appropriate to really enjoy what a melodramatic, theatrical banger this is, because everything about it seems to be fetishizing this, you know, teenage runaway who I feel like maybe took off because her daddy was touching her inappropriately. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's like, she's sitting around her dark apartment, like doing lines of coke, and the pictures are staring back at her. And then she like hits the streets. And is she a sex worker? Does she have a home? I feel like our protagonist is a special victim. And yet this song is like, the song is a panty dropper, and it shouldn't be given the lyrics. Mark, your thoughts.
Well, you're absolutely right. We talk so often about songs that make you pregnant. And even though this one leads to a baby who probably isn't going to have a lot of advantages in life, it is still a pregnancy making song.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Those fucking, that keyboard, yeah, right out of Journey or Europe, yes, or any of those like big bands like that. Hell yes.
Oh.
You can just feel like your fist is like pumping in the air before you even know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I also had this feeling, I'm sure we talked about this 1,000 years ago on the Wanted Dead or Alive episode, but I remember so clearly being a little bit afraid of Bon Jovi as well. Mm-hmm. And they were somehow too aggressive. And I can also remember when I was riding down the road with my father or my mother in the car, and we were listening to whatever oldies station they were listening to. When I saw someone passing us from the other direction, for a while, I would mouth the words to You Give Love a Bad Name, because I wanted the person who was looking at me to think I was cool. As though they would have the time in a moving car to even notice me, let alone deduce which pop song I was mouthing along to.
Right.
Oh my God.
Or it's that just they like would even hear that your parents are actually listening to whatever Bread. Or Otis, yeah, Redding in the car. Like, that's not cool. It's pretty cool.
I'm sure it was the fucking Everly Brothers Greatest Hits tape that I just hated so much. Yeah. Anyway.
God.
So that's just we'll let my therapist sort out what all that means. But it's so funny to think that, and to now look back and realize that Bon Jovi were the most mom jeans accessible band, yes, that heavy metal ever created.
Yeah. They really
were. And that's fine. Because you know what? Being really accessible in this case means getting access to all my britches.
Mm-hmm.
And I were right that Runaway, yeah, peaked at a lowly number 39. It was their first ever top 40 song. But it really does contain a lot of the Bon Jovi DNA that we would come to love a few years later, with the massive choruses, the harmony vocals, the thundering bridges, like, and it's also got a touch of that early 80s synthy swagger that I'm not mad at, Sarah. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't know this song until I was older, because I was too young in 83, 84 to really comprehend what was happening. But sure, later on, to have heard this song made me happy. And I think there's a reason that this is really the only one of their pre-Slippery When Wet songs that they ever perform, because mm-hmm, it's so fucking good.
Yeah. Yeah, the construction of it is really good. That, like, lyrically, I suspect that we are reading more darkness and like felonious background information into it than may exist.
Yeah, it's probably just one of those generic teen girl asserting herself lyrics that doesn't really mean much.
Yeah. Especially when it's written by a guy like Living on a Prayer has a similar like accidental, like non-purposeful ambiguity, I think, in like Gina's whole story. Like, I just get the sense that Gina is, you know, her situation was not great, and she really is like counting on Tommy to get, like, you know, to get her out of it,
because Tommy's got a fast car, to reference an, yeah, earlier episode.
I mean, and so it's interesting that, and there is a certain kind of, at least when I was a kid in North Jersey, there was that girl, her name was usually Robin, who had a boyfriend who was a man. Like she right. is 15 and he is a man. Like he right. owns real estate. He shaves a couple times a day and not a couple times a month, like boys our age. She could always get beer. She always had cigarettes. She, like, he bought her a car when she turned 16. Like, there was always that one girl who seemed like she seemed to have it on lock, kind of, because she had a boyfriend and he was not a boy, right?
Right.
But then as you sort of got a little older, and you understood a little bit more about how boys are and what the statutory age of consent is in your state, among other things, that it sort of becomes clear that perhaps that one girl that I think everyone, and this is not really even a Jersey thing, I think everybody knew that one girl who our past guest Danny McEachran calls these guys like the skids who would date like a 14-year-old, that girl was like trying to get away from something, and this was not like, this was not a great love match, and it was not even like a scandal. It was her trying to find some kind of safe escape from one grown-up man with another grown-up man. And everything that seemed like darkly glamorous about that when you're 15, once you get to the skids age, you're like, oh, that was fucked up and someone should have called the police on someone.
You know, I'm remembering so clearly, I haven't thought about this in ages, but there was someone that I was friends with in middle school and high school who, when we were 15, was dating a Vietnam War veteran.
Wow.
And I remember so clearly that it felt weird, but also cool. And now I realize, no, it was actually a criminal act.
Yeah.
And also, her father was a vegan, although I didn't know what that was at the time. I just remember very clearly that he didn't eat animal products. Uh-huh. And I didn't know the word vegan at the time. Uh-huh. But it was like there were all these things surrounding her that were so strange to me. Veganism, dating someone who's old enough to be possibly your grandfather. It was a lot. And now you look back and you think, right, she was being exploited.
Yeah.
But there definitely is a dope was, song.
I mean, but at least for me, there was always that feeling of like, maybe I'm just like a square who doesn't understand right. the world, because that was usually the case regardless of the topic. So it was like, maybe I just don't get it. Like, I've never kissed a boy or a girl or anyone human with tongue. So maybe the feelings of discomfort that this causes to watch this, you know, young woman who we think of as like extremely mature and worldly, but like,
right,
we're all fucking diagramming the same sentences and, you know, doing the same function things in calculus. And then, you know, he comes in his noisy Mustang to pick her up. And it's like, are we supposed to want this or are we supposed to fear this? And it was just not clear. And I hope you young people today, none of whom listen to this podcast, but that's fine, you know, for kids. I hope that young people, I think they are more open about like just weird situations like that, where it's like, I don't know how to feel, so I think I feel bad and I'm going to go talk to somebody about mm-hmm. it. Like, I hope that there is a little more openness surrounding 15-year-olds dating people who were in the armed forces and now are not. With all of that said, I feel like John Bon Jovi, who like married his high school sweetheart, I think, and is still married to
her. He did, and they still are, yes.
And, you know, she's lovely and he has still got those cheekbones and what a beauty. But I got the feeling he was kind of square also and probably had to like do a bunch of vodka shots to put on those skin tight pants for the first time. And he was like, I don't know about this, you guys. Like he would get girl drink drunk. It's just a sense I get. And I don't think that this is, I don't think that this was supposed to be a comment on teenage runaways and like the scourge of, you know, step parent sexual abuse or anything like that. I just think certain things rhymed with certain other things. And then he mentioned cocaine and then here's, you know, here Brian and Sambora rocking our worlds. But I just, if they had it to do again, I would prefer less implications of impropriety in the home.
But then, you know, in the, and also in the early 80s, this song is basically built from the parts of other very similar songs. I mean, there are so many rock songs that talk about a 17-year-old girl out in the world or whatever.
Yeah, and getting on a bus, take a midnight train going anywhere. Sure.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like that, and also this is just a capable person putting together the parts that the entire industry was selling at that time and making something nice. And I actually had the good fortune just a few weeks ago to go to the Power Station, the recording studio in New York where Bon Jovi recorded this song.
Oh, yeah.
And it was fucking awesome. They actually said this is the exact space where John Bon Jovi recorded Runaway. They were like, right here. And in P.S., it's in the same room where the Queen and David Bowie recorded Under Pressure.
Oh.
And you're just like,
that's a room that should be a national landmark
for real. And also in that building, Madonna recorded Like a Virgin and Material Girl. And you're like, what the fuck? So
but then,
Power Station,
I mean,
it's on 54th Street,
but Like a Virgin from the same year. Yeah. Or like around the same time, sort of early.
Yeah. Roughly equivalent within the same 18 months.
Yeah. That I think there was definitely in pop music, this, I mean, I guess it's always been true. And you could probably pull Teen Angel into this conversation, this fetishizing in song of the little girl or boy lost. Like, Guns N' Roses brings it back like 5 years after this, 4 or 5 years after this. I mean, there's myriad examples, but it's just interesting that John Bon Jovi, who I think is probably a big square, who, like, if you explain certain JFK conspiracy theories to him, for instance, he'd be like, wait, really? Like, I don't, not that he's a dumb guy. I just feel like he's maybe a little bit, you know, sheltered from certain darker realities. And if he thought that this lyric were being unpacked for, you know, for like a sting operation that he'd be like, wait, what? Like, no, she just ran away. And it's like, well, think about why people run away, John.
And you're like, he's like, but I'm not trying to catch a predator. Oh,
wait. Yeah. Well, well, you did. So enjoy. I hope that we haven't ruined this song for anyone. I still love it. I will still blast it, but I can't sing along to it in public because it's just a little dark.
I think that the brain melting power of the hooks and riffs are strong enough to get us past the ookiness.
Mm.
And whether or not we should, I can't help myself. This song is great.
Yeah. And I hope they provide safety to the runaway and whatever. Hey, daddy, whatever you're doing, get yourself correct. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, also, I just think it's worth, I know we've touched on it already, but though this video is not good, it really shows you that underneath all that hair, John Bon Jovi was just so foxy from the beginning.
Oh my God, what a beauty.
Just, whew.
What the hell is wrong with you tonight? I can't.
Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs is hosted by Mark Blankenship, that's me, and Sarah D. Bunting.
That's me. I also edit the podcast, which is a proud member of the Bleav Network. Learn more at bleav.com.
To learn more about us, submit song requests, get a pop chart reading, or buy a Mastis book, visit our website at markandsarahtalkaboutsongs.com. You'll also find all of our social media links there, too.
That's Mark and Sarah, with an H, talkaboutsongs.com. And for even more content and access to the Mastass Happy Hour, become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/mastass.
Thanks for listening.
Mark and Sarah talk about songs. They talk about songs.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's one.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.